Hey, Linoleum Knife.
Woo!
That's not Alonzo.
No, it is not. Although, I was considering pretending to be Alonzo by denying the Holocaust. Didn't happen, you guys.
Is that out now? Is that does everyone know his dark secret?
Yeah, because, I mean, everybody listens to Linoleum
Knife. Alonzo Duralde, Holocaust denier.
It's a thing now, Alonzo.
I started it, and when I start a rumor.
Oh, it takes hold.
A good, false, fake, untrue rumor. I want it to go. I want it to take flight and soar like an Aryan eagle in the sky.
That the crows cannot peck off.
Mm-hmm. That eagle. That's Shakespeare, y'all.
Word. I heard that on last week's episode of Linoleum Knife and laughed out loud because I did not know how he felt about Schindler's List. But I know now.
He did not like Schindler's List, that Alonzo Duralde.
Oh, some people might not know who I am. Come on, who really? Who doesn't? Really?
Tell everyone who you are.
Well, I am Gray Drake. I am Dave White's co-critic over at movies.com.
That is true.
And I'm also the host of the Popcorn Mafia, a show online
that you ought to be listening to.
Exactly, that Dave and Alonzo are frequent guests on. And I think that I basically mention you guys like once an episode at this point.
I think that you should do that.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What about you, stranger?
And you are really great because you are here helping me do this. Because if you weren't here helping me do this, this would not be happening. Alonzo Duralde is on the Turner Classic Movies cruise.
God.
Right now. Not relaxing, not, you know,
no.
Being a tourist.
He's, no.
I tell people this. I go, Alonzo's going on the TCM cruise this week. And they're like, he's so lucky. And I'm like, it's work. Like,
yeah.
Like, do you think he's such a weirdo nerd that he would be like, I'm going to go on the Turner Classic Movies cruise alone without you?
I
did choose not to go. They offered to put me up. They offered to have me go too.
You should have.
No. I didn't want to do that, and here's why. By the way, I am Dave White, and I am the film critic. I'm the other film critic at movies.com. Alonzo Duralde is absent this week. And I chose not to go with Alonzo on the Turner Classic Movies cruise for a couple of reasons. I hate places that are sunny and warm.
Okay. And California is a weird choice.
This cruise was, yeah, but you know what? You know what? The thing, people lie. The movies and the TV have lied to everybody about Southern California. Mm. Like, I was just watching, this has happened forever and ever and ever. When I was a student back in the late 80s, I went to London for 6 months for a spring semester.
Wow.
And, you know, back then I lived in Texas, but people would be like, oh, I can't wait to go to Los Angeles someday. Like, y'all know it's not. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Nothing,
Brits. Did you say a swear?
I'm going to cut it out.
Okay. No swearing. We're clean.
It's at 4 minutes and 30 seconds. It'll be gone.
I did. They all thought they thought Southern California was like everyone was surfing all the time.
Right. Yes.
And it was everyone's at the beach in their bikinis.
Sure.
And it was a thing that existed, you know, even back then. And I see the tourists on Hollywood Boulevard walking around shivering all the time. And then just this past week, I was watching the Christmas episode of Modern Family, and it is an episode that begins with all of them sitting around a backyard pool, and it's December 16th, and it's 95 degrees.
Right.
And they're all sitting around a pool. And they're mentioning how hot and how hot it is and how happy they all are to be sitting around a pool. And I'm like, all y'all are a bunch of liars. It is not 95 degrees here in September.
No, absolutely not.
It's 63 degrees here in September. Now, that's still pretty warm for most people who live, say, maybe in Finland, but or New York or whatever. But, but that's, it's you know, it rains, it gets overcast, it gets a little chilly, it goes down into the low 40s, early, late 30s, you know, at night.
Is it even 95 in Florida this time of year?
No, it's like 80 in Florida right now.
Okay.
But I would have had to fly to Florida to go on this Turner Classic Movies cruise.
Yeah, and you're not a flyer.
I don't like, not like flying is really putting it mildly. I'm ultraphobic of flying.
Right. So that would have been a horrible wind-up.
I go to Texas every 10 weeks to visit my mother. I do my bit. Like, I'm on the plane 4 to 5 times a year. And that's, I have a gigantic prescription of Xanax to get me on that plane.
That's a lot of flying.
And so the idea of accompanying him, as wonderful as he is, to Miami on a plane and then to get on a boat and go to, like, islands and stuff.
Right. With pasty movie nerds.
That sounds... I'm cool with the pasty movie nerds. You know, like... I don't know. You know, I'm a pasty movie nerd, really.
Aren't we all, really? But, I mean, but, when you think about hanging out at the pool with them...
But I don't wanna, I just don't pretty. Like the idea of going... Like, he won a trip a couple years ago. He was on some game show. I can't remember now which game show he was on. But he won, like, $14,000.
Oh, my God.
Which was sweet. But he also won a trip.
Yeah.
And he won a trip to Cancun. And he's like, awesome. I want to go. I'm so great. This is so great. I'm going to Cancun. And I was like, you should call Kimberly and take her with you.
You're like, I don't want to go to any of these places
and,
with you.
And he goes, you don't want to go to Cancun with me? It's like, no, I don't want to go to Cancun with you.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to go to Cancun. It's not you that I want to go anywhere with. You want to go to Paris? I'll go to Paris with you. It's nice in Paris. The temperature's nice in Paris. It's overcast. Chilly.
Will you take driving trips to, say, San Francisco?
Yeah.
There you go.
Sure.
Okay, we're good. You guys are still going to be together forever.
Yeah. And so so he called his friend Kimberly, and she couldn't go because she was fixing to have a baby. And then he took our friend Aaron. I was like, take Aaron. Meanwhile, Aaron is sitting in the background going, take me.
I'm right here.
I'm right here. Take me. You know, like, yeah. No. And so they went. They had a blast. They went to Senor Frog's and Margaritaville and, like, all those stupid places.
I love
and
picturing Alonzo at Senor Frog's.
They got the 3-foot black glass drink bottle. Yeah.
Yes, they did. They did the hurricane glass. Yeah. And, oh, my God, I hope he was dancing on a table at
they
some
did all
point.
That stuff. He makes the booty go pop when he dances.
Doubt that.
Yeah.
No, here's a question for you. So you've got the place to yourself.
Yeah.
What do you do when Alonzo is out?
I clean things and I organize things. You can't see that right now because the place is a disaster.
And you have a gigantor tree in here.
A gigantic Christmas tree.
It really is as big as
that
you
I'm
said.
I'm trying to get the lights on that.
So you basically you do bookish things, like you organize stuff while he's gone.
I love to organize things.
Do you put like whiskey in your tea while he's gone? Do you like watch an extraordinary amount of Martha Stewart?
No. I watch Martha Stewart every day.
But not two, just the same normal one is what you're saying.
What now?
Just the normal one episode. You don't go crazy on it though, because Alonzo's gone.
If TiVo's backed up with Martha Stewart episodes, I'll watch 2 or 3 back to back.
Crazy town.
But I only watch the recipe parts, like the craft parts. I fast forward through the TiVo because I don't do crafts,
no one does.
Yeah, when I meet people who do crafts, they all come off kind of weird to me.
Yes, because they are.
I'm sorry if there are any crafters listening who think that I just called them weird.
They're like spotted leopards. You like don't see them a lot, you know.
But I want the recipes because I want to make things to put in my mouth.
Do you fix, like, fancy dinners for yourself while he's gone, like stuff that he wouldn't eat?
Yes.
And stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
I specifically went out, speaking of Martha Stewart, I specifically went out to the farmer's market, the one, you know, on 3rd Street in Fairfax, the great farmer's market of Los Angeles.
The great.
If you live in Los Angeles or you visit Los Angeles, you need to go to the farmer's market.
It's impressive.
I'm not talking about the farmer's market where you get vegetables in your neighborhood. I'm talking about the farmer's market.
you know, with like permanent stands.
Yeah, permanent stands. It's been in Los Angeles since like the 20s or something.
Not that ridiculous transient farmer's market.
It's attached to the Grove, which is gross, but the farmer's market is fantastic.
Right, I agree.
And but there's a food shop in the farmer's market that's called like Monsieur Marcel's or something like that. I never remember the name.
Les Fancy Pins. Ha ha.
It's next to the great butcher store, the great butcher shop, Huntington Meats, where you can get that Nancy Silverton beef that's got extra fat in it.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, extra fat in it. Alonzo gets that and makes meatloaf. Oh, man, it's so good.
That's where they keep the
We're going to talk about movies real soon, I promise. But anyway, yeah, I'll go there and I'll get that. I did this week. I splurged on this Spanish tuna fish called Ortiz that's line caught.
That's my landlord's name.
Oh, yeah? They don't catch it in the dolphin nets. They catch it on the line, and they pack it in olive oil. And this guy on Martha Stewart, this chef who was making a tuna niçoise salad with her, that looked so delicious. And he was like, I recommend going and getting a jar of Ortiz tuna.
What?
He goes, it's the best tuna in the world.
Yum.
So I thought, well, this market's going to have it. If anyone's going to have it, they're going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
They had it. Guess how much a jar, like a 6-ounce jar of this tuna costs?
$3.74.
Wrong.
How much?
$15.
Shut up. Holy smokes.
But I was like, hey, I'm alone all week, and I made this big beef stew that I've just been eating every day while he's gone.
Yeah, that's economical.
I love beef stew. And,
yeah.
So I whipped up a beef stew like one night, the first night he was gone, and I've just been eating it all week. And I was like, I haven't spent any money on food really while he's been gone. And he's getting paid to be on this TCM crew, so I'm going to spend $15 on a jar of tuna. Also because he never lets me have tuna anything in the house because he's still grossed out by it.
I love it.
So, and I mean, it's not that he doesn't let me. It's when I go to the grocery store to buy food for a meal, I pass right over the tuna.
Right.
So the tuna, Because my thought is a tuna casserole would be just lovely. But he's like, that sounds like the grossest thing I've ever heard
of. Oh, what? Well, that happens, though. When you live with somebody, relationships are a compromise.
Yeah, and so, like, I never
eat
tuna.
Steve doesn't eat mushrooms. He yells at me.
I never eat tuna because of him.
Right.
So I went out and bought a $15 jar of tuna.
Boom.
To make myself a tuna niçoise salad.
I love it. That's the answer I was looking for.
Yeah.
So, Alonzo, when you listen to this later, I hope you're having so much fun in your little swim shorts on the cruise.
He's got these gigantic baggy board shorts.
Yeah, whatever. But in my head, they're like the cute Speedos.
Apparently, Ben Mankiewicz is calling bingo on this cruise. Yeah. And I told Alonzo, you better get some video of that. You better get that. I got to see that.
Hey, I'm going on the TCM cruise to play some TCB. Turn a classic bingo. Love it. Well, I'm happy to be here and happy to help.
Yeah,
I'm
inept.
Some fancy tuna now.
I am inept at setting up things. I don't know the first thing about all these wires and stuff.
You could learn it, though.
I could learn it. I just have chosen not to because Alonzo does everything else.
That's wise.
I make most of the meals around here. He can figure out how to do a podcast.
Good for you. It's a give and take.
That's right.
Done.
So
we're talking about movies, the movies
we
that came out.
We got six movies
so
that came
many.
Out.
So many. It's the holidays.
They have not posted our WE reviews yet.
Right. They rarely
Did
do
you
that.
Get yours written up and
I sent it to them, yes.
Yeah, me too.
So that happens.
Let's
sometimes.
Talk about that first because
is it WE? It's not WE.
It's WE.
Okay. This is Madonna's new movie.
It's Madonna's new directorial
film. She co-wrote it.
She directed it.
And it is about the WE stands for Wallace and Edward.
Yes.
And it is about
It also stands for Wally and Evgeny, whatever that dude's name was in the movie, the Russian name,
yeah. Foreigner McGillicuddy. Yeah, that's what. That guy was in The Visitor, right?
And Drive. He was he was Carey Mulligan's ex-con husband in Drive.
Yeah, he always plays that role. He always plays the foreign. No problem. He always plays the foreigner who's mysterious and most of the time in trouble. Not in this film, but...
No.
So this is a movie, it's hard to sort of, for me to encapsulate this film.
Well, I would like to begin our discussion of W.E. with the way we were screwed around about screenings for this film. I don't know what Weinstein Company's problem is.
I ask myself that question a lot.
But they went out of their way. This is, and none of this makes any sense, what I'm about to say. So don't try to make it make sense in your head. They released it in Los Angeles and New York this past Friday for a one-week Oscar qualifying run.
Yep.
That's what they do. All the studios, like Coriolanus the week before, one-week Oscar qualifying run.
That's it.
If you recall, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, you will see a bajillion reviews for Coriolanus, even though it only opened in New York and Los Angeles.
Right.
And will not open again nationally in a wide release sort of way until at least January, possibly February.
And it also had festival runs.
And they had a few festival screenings as well. And it's really good. And they had a good reason to put it out for an Oscar qualifying run. And they were eager to let critics see it. So, I get the email. You get the email.
Mm-hmm.
WE being released the December, whatever, 8th, was it?
Something.
On Friday, 9th?
Mm-hmm, yep. 9th.
For a one-week Oscar qualifying run in New York and Los Angeles. It will be released again in February. Nationwide, wide release. Well, we think.
We think.
A wide release.
As long as there are no hydrangeas there.
Right, exactly. And they say we'll have critics screenings closer to that that date. And I email the publicist and I say, well, what about before it actually opens?
Yeah.
And I get a one-word response.
Which was what?
No.
Well, that's ridiculous.
And I email back and I say, come on. I said, it's an Oscar qualifying run. You should be wanting critics to see this movie. It can't be that bad.
Right.
And now it's going to get even crazier. Because guess what? It's not that bad.
I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed watching it. It's not a good movie, but it's fascinating.
Right.
And it's 1,000% better than Filth and Wisdom, which was Madonna's first narrative feature film that she directed.
I did not see it.
It's garbage.
So it's good.
It is garbage. And it stars the guy from Gogol Bordello.
Oh, yeah.
That dude with the mustache, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
You
know him, I love. Eugene something.
He's crazy.
God, I love Gogol Bordello concerts.
And he, you could tell watching that movie that he was too much for Madonna to handle. Seriously, like, you could tell just from watching it, like, she could not control him.
Yeah.
And I have never met Madonna, I don't know really what she's like, but I have a feeling that she likes to be in control of things.
I think that's safe to assume.
And yeah. I had this feeling from watching Filth and Wisdom that she had no power over him at all.
Well, and as a first-time director, I'm sure that played some role.
He's a wild man.
He is, yeah. And as evidenced on stage.
Yeah.
There's also a really great documentary on Netflix Instant right now called Gogol Bordello Nonstop, where it's
exactly.
A woman follows the band for 7 years.
Right.
And the first
7 years.
7 years, and the and it's really an amazing it's an amazing evolution because they went from playing like basements to playing stadiums.
Right.
And they're an incredible band. And like the first shot is just kind of shows him pulling a woman up out of the audience and pulling the microphone off the stand, wrapping the woman with the cord and putting the mic in her mouth.
Right.
And she's his new mic stand. Boom. And that might as well have been Madonna.
Right. He's the Shane McGowan that you're not afraid is going to die at any moment.
So I could see what you're talking about.
Right. And so here comes this movie, WE, which is about Wallace Simpson and King Edward and their, you know, legendary romance. And a parallel story featuring Abbie Cornish and this guy,
Oscar, guy from Coupling.
Isaac Oscar is his name, or Oscar Isaac?
Something like that. The Coupling dude.
Yeah. And it's, you know, they're basically, this contemporary woman is obsessed with Wallace Simpson and leading a sort of coincidental parallel life.
Right.
Which is dumb. Like, if the whole movie had been Wallace Simpson and Edward, that would have been a straightforward historical drama. It could have been deeper about a lot of things, and it would have been a good movie. But here you've got these two weird sort of half-cocked movies, sort of like dry-humping each other, you know? and trying to be, like, they cross over into time, and
right.
Wallace
and
Simpson gives Abby Cornish advice and is like, behave yourself. This is not, you know, I don't know what she says. I can't remember.
But doesn't she smack her on the bottom?
She smacks her in the face.
Oh, the face. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I always make that the bottom. Well, here's what I admire about that.
Yes.
Because I think that this movie is like, I think I said in the theater when it was done, I think that this is like King's Speech if it was made by a really rich film student.
Right.
And,
yes.
I liked the fact that it wasn't a straight historical drama because we have plenty of those,
right,
especially this season.
Yes.
And I liked the fact that she's trying to integrate something new into it.
Right.
I dig that.
Right.
And so I was signed up for it, and it got stupid sometimes.
Right.
And I also thought that some of the shots were very like handheld.
Look at this
avant-garde
shot. Check out this shot. Yeah.
And I was like, all right, Madonna, because of the Lucky Star single, I'm willing to forgive you. But it really had me the entire time. So
right.
I can't complain.
Right.
Shockingly.
Right. Yeah. Like, Madonna recorded Burning Up. And that means
favorite.
She can do anything she wants for the rest of her life because.
Come on. Yeah.
The thing about this is that it's beautiful.
It is.
It's gorgeous. Like, every fetishy detail of this film,
yep.
And it is fetishy detail.
Yes.
Like, all the things, all the stuff, all the cocktail shakers and the lace on the hat.
Rings.
And the rings and the tweedy bits on the jacket and the carpet and the tablecloth and all the linens and everything is like, the camera is up that stuff's nose.
Yes.
And all about the textures of those things and how beautiful all the stuff is in this movie.
Right.
And it's... I think my favorite moment is when they all dance to the Sex Pistols, Pretty Vacant.
Yeah, it becomes very like Sofia Coppola all
of
a sudden.
It's I Want Candy. And I wrote... I don't. Alonzo gets really angry when I quote my own reviews, but sometimes I do it, and I'm going
to
do it right now
because it
hasn't run yet. So
I like your reviews.
I like the idea that by doing that, like it's like having Madonna sit next to you in the screening and give you a running commentary on what's going on screen. Like she's like, you were going to write Pretty Vacant in your little notebook there, Mr. Film Critic. I know you were, because you were going to be all clever and reference the Sex Pistols. But guess what? I just put the Sex Pistols in the movie so all the vintage people can dance to the Sex Pistols. And I just ripped off Sofia Coppola. What are you going to do about it? Like, which she totally did. She's ripping off Sofia Coppola. She's ripping off Sofia Coppola the entire film.
The entire time, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? At least she's got ambition. To rip off something and like try to do something interesting and weird and cool. This is not a good movie, and yet I really had a good time watching it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I haven't seen Marie Antoinette since the theater when I disliked it.
Oh, God, I love that movie so much.
Well, I need to rewatch it.
I've seen it twice, and it's the one movie that I have on nonstop arguments with Alonzo about.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, like, I do want to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah.
However... I think that this movie was more interesting than Marie Antoinette. So
wrong.
I was more hypnotized by Abby Cornish's sad eyes the entire time.
Well, yeah, she's got those sad eyes.
And she like really uses them here.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you give well,
I want Abby
thing.
Cornish to be in a really good movie.
I do too. She's been in any.
First of all, she's crazy gorgeous.
She is. She's
a like
good actress.
Nicole Kidman and Charlize Theron mated and had a baby. Together.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a weird all woman baby girl.
Like, yeah. She's beautiful. And I bet she's good. I just haven't seen her in a good movie yet.
The thing that this movie made me
Let me
think,
take that back for a second while I go to IMDb
and double check
if I'm going to remind myself of something that I forgot.
Most recently in our brains is Sucker Punch, and that just is
Yeah, that's the thing. I guess Sucker Punch just colored my
everybody
thing.
In
Hang
that
on,
movie.
I'm looking this up right now. You keep talking.
The only reason that Carla Gugino has escaped the Sucker Punch stamp is because she's been in like 18 movies since then. But Abby Cornish's husband is a doctor who's always gone. Did you find anything out that she's been in that's good, Dave?
Hang on, I'm. Oh my God, I'm an idiot. Forgive me, I'm an idiot.
We're both an idiot.
She's in Bright Star.
Oh, that's right.
Bright Star is fantastic.
That's right.
Bright Star is fantastic, and she's great in it.
That's too long.
I'm an idiot. She was in Stop Loss, too, which I liked. She was in Elizabeth, the Golden Age, which is crazy.
We have never paid attention to her, though.
Yeah. You know I'm a fool. She was in Bright Star. Bright Star is amazing. If you haven't seen Bright Star, watch Bright Star.
That was a couple years ago, right? Pretty recent.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, I mean,
my brains fall out of my head sometimes.
It's okay.
Keep talking.
She has those sad, sad eyes, though. And in this movie, her doctor husband he may be having an affair and he's never home. And the thing is that even when he does nice stuff for her, she still has sad eyes. And it's like, sweetheart, you're going to get hit if you keep doing that.
And then, boom.
She gets hit.
She gets hit.
Really hit.
Super hit.
Like, for realsies hit. Like Madonna and Guy Ritchie fought like this.
Like Madonna and Sean Penn hit.
Right.
Yeah. Like the way Sean Penn hit her.
Yes.
That kind of hit.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This movie's about Madonna.
Right.
This movie is about Madonna.
It is.
It's about Madonna's ascent to British ladydom. That's what it is.
That stupid fake accent of hers.
Y'all go see this movie because it's, again, not good, but totally fun to watch.
It's hard for me to say it's not good because I really enjoyed watching it. And look how long we've talked about it. So, I mean, I'm really surprised. And I say, okay, Madge, you get another chance.
Here's my other favorite thing about the screening we went to on Friday morning. Those Madonna gays that were waiting for us outside the theater who were sitting waiting for the next screening to start.
Right.
Have you ever encountered any sort of like middle-aged Madonna gays?
I generally no.
Dude, those guys are crazy in the pants.
They overlook me.
They are out of their heads. Like she can do anything and they worship her. And because remember the first thing he's like, the first thing he said to us when we walked out was, "Is it amazing?"
It
ain't bad. Like,
The worst people in the world to ask if it's amazing are two critics that have been forced to pay for the movie when they've been yanked around by the studios.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like he couldn't. Oh, the poor man. We spared him.
What was the greatest performance in the film?
Right.
And I was like,
do you know what he wanted us to say?
The chick who played Andrea Riseborough, who played Wallace Simpson.
What he wanted us to say was the greatest performance was the Madonna song over the credits.
Uh-huh.
You're a masterpiece. Something, something about self-worth and femininity. You don't need a man. You just need amazing biceps. Something like that. Coming to a top 10 near you.
If the song's not about cheeseburgers, then I don't really know.
You got
I don't hear the
it's
words.
It's called Masterpiece and it's by Madonna. Yeah. Come on, she's whistling through her front teeth.
But I would have wanted to go back in and watch it again sitting next to those gays.
Just
that
gasping.
Would have been really like gorgeous. Yes.
Oh, I mean, the
every minute of the movie, they're hoping Madonna's actually going to be in the movie too. Right. You know,
yeah, just a cameo.
Yeah.
Oh, do you think she's going to Hitchcock this one, Gary? Oh, I don't know, Stan. I don't know. I think she's really classed up since the divorce. I don't know. What would Lourdes do? Is she going to be in a crowd scene?
She was in a crowd scene. I read that somewhere. I didn't see her.
Stanley was so pleased with that.
Apparently, she's in a crowd scene.
She's
somewhere.
Gorgeous. She's a stunning girl.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
God, she's going to give her mother so much trouble.
Let's talk about Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, which, on the subject of England,
British Cold
things.
War, spies.
Yeah.
Gary, George Smiley, the role that was originally played by Alec Guinness in the BBC miniseries is now played by Gary Oldman.
Right.
And this is, like, who's who of, like, respectable-looking dudes.
Right.
So
every good man British actor... You know, they're all in this movie.
Yep, Colin Firth, John Hurt is in it. And
Tom Hardy's in
Tom Hardy, Mark Strong.
Kieran Hines?
Oh, Ciaran Hines, I think is how you say it.
And
listen, whenever he shows up in a movie, you know he's double-crossing somebody.
Yeah, he's always a bad
guy.
Come on. Toby Jones is in it, Mark Strong is in it.
Yep. And then the guy, I always forget his name, but he's one of the...
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch, who actually someone told me changed his name to that.
Like Engelbert Humperdinck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What in the... Well, I mean, I guess good on him.
You know what? People won't forget that name.
Yeah, you know what? You know what name I don't forget? Yeah. I was at Weta, and everybody else is like John Jones or whatever.
Right.
Simon Clutterbuck.
Yeah.
Didn't forget him.
Same I'm deal. A fan of Imogen Poots for the same reason.
Exactly.
I actually couldn't pull her out of a crowd, but nope. Every time she's in a movie and I see her credit, I'm like, Imogen Poots is in this film.
I chuckle.
Very exciting. Imogen Poots is getting more work.
When I went to see this movie, I was really tired, and I had a chai tea latte in my hand as to give me a little kick, and the jerk that lords over the screening room, like an imp, stupid jerk
They take it away from you. You got to hide your stuff. We won't mention the screening room,
nope.
Lest we get kicked out, because what I do all the time is I sneak stuff in.
Yeah, I didn't realize, and I didn't hide it.
It in my bag.
And I just went outside and drank it, but I didn't drink all of it, and I was in a bad mood, and then I wasn't awake, and then I had to sit through this movie, which is really smart, but really hard to follow.
If I'm going to that screening room, I take my laptop bag, mm-hmm. the bag that I use to carry my laptop around with, but I don't bring my laptop. I go to the cafe, and I get like a muffin or a candy bar or something, and then one of those bottles of juice or something, and I put it in the bag, and then I carry it in like that, and then I eat it in the dark.
You are
stealth.
The Tinker. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
That's right.
Can I be
Taylor? I could work for the MI6.
You could.
And I'd be killed immediately.
See, I can't be Soldier because I look really bad in fatigues. And I can't be Spy because my hair makes me stand out too much, so I have to be the Tailor.
You gotta be the Tailor, yeah.
Alonzo can be the soldier.
This movie...
Gary Cotty can be the spy.
Is... exactly.
Did you like this movie?
Oh, man. This movie's amazing. This is
crazy.
This movie is...
Crazy difficult to understand.
So meticulously detailed and does not care if you can't keep up.
Exactly.
It's and like, it throws stuff at you. It throws stuff at you... So that even like the most attentive person will be like, what? Who? What's he? What is that guy's connection to this thing over here? And then 20 minutes later, they'll throw another little bit of information at you, and you had better catch it because that's the answer to your question of 20 minutes ago of like, who was he? And then you have to be like, oh, okay, so they're connected to this and they are zooming these people. And it's about, you know, there's a mole at the top of the MI6.
Right.
A Russian mole. It's 1973. And by the way, the production detail, the production design, and the amount of, like, physical 1973-ness in this movie is mind-blowing.
Right down to the button on a trench coat.
Everything is cold and wet.
Mm.
And Alonzo said, this is a movie where nobody looks warm.
That's true. It's the dude that both of the dudes, the director and the cinematographer from Let the Right One In.
Yes.
And it so looks like it.
The Let the Right One In guy, Thomas Alfredson?
I think that sounds right.
Yeah, Tomas.
Tomas.
He gets atmosphere down
like
perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Like you feel the unease and the sort of everyone's dead inside sort of, you know, feeling.
So, yeah, like Gary Oldman's wife is cheating on him in front of him.
In front of him.
And all he does is heave the world's biggest sigh. And that's what this movie is like.
Yeah.
There's no sexy shootouts or cars.
This is not James Bond.
Not in the slightest.
This is a lot of people talking.
It is.
And like the tension of it all still mounts.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone acts like they're on the verge of a nervous breakdown from like the pressure of trying to figure out who the spy is, who the mole is.
I almost had a breakdown watching.
Wondering who maybe they're going to be accused of being the mole, so they freak out, just like that scene where Toby Jones just starts crying.
Right.
when Gary Oldman is like, is it you?
Yeah.
And Toby Jones just starts crying. And you're like, but it's not even it's not even you. You know? What are you crying about? It is so complicated and so convoluted and so like challenging.
Yeah.
I was exhausted.
Yeah.
And by the time I finished watching this.
It was the worst possible conditions for me to watch it under. And I, in my head, became what I imagine I will be when I'm a grandma. Because
what?
Let me explain.
What just happened?
Exactly.
What's he doing?
Yeah. Exactly. In my head, I would ask myself a question because I was sitting by myself and I didn't know anybody around me, so I couldn't talk to anyone. And I rarely do that anyways. But I was
like... You do it to me all the time.
Okay, not to ask questions, only to say something funny. To make funny.
Comments, yeah.
Yeah, which is probably why I like WE. But, and a lot of things this year, by the way. But no,
the roommate.
Exactly, the roommate. Oh, God. There's so many movies this year that I rated better because of you. Like, because we had so much fun watching them together. But and we're getting to that time of year again, which I'm really excited for.
January is just around the corner.
But in my head, I'm asking myself all those old lady questions, and my answer always is, in just a second, you'll probably see the answer. Just settle down and keep watching. Yeah. I don't know, Grandma.
Right.
Let's keep watching
the movie. You feel like a child while you're watching it because you want to pull on, you want to tug on the person next to you and go, what just happened? Mm-hmm. Why is he doing that?
Right.
And the movie just is sort of like, calm down.
Uh-huh. And
you'll find out eventually. Right.
And the girl,
just shut up and watch
the girl next. The girl next to me had really bad looking extensions. I couldn't pull on those at all. Horrible. So it was. But I loved.
This is a terrific movie.
I loved the movie because it was very smart. It's just not sexy spying.
No.
So my recommendation to people has been to go take a multivitamin before seeing it.
Yes. Yeah, don't be tired.
No 10 o'clock shows
when
you see
this. Do not see this at 10 o'clock at night when you might be a little sleepy.
Yeah.
Because you got to keep up. You got to pay. You have to pay attention to every moment.
It's like a less spandexy aerobic workout for your brain, is what it is.
Like, when it was over, even though I was super exhausted, the next day I thought to myself, I need to watch that again.
Right.
I want to watch that again. I want to go back and I want to know what's coming so that I can watch it without this amazing amount of anxiety that I felt.
Right. Like, oh my God, I don't understand.
Like as I sat through it, I was thinking, I think I'm getting lost. I think I don't understand. Did I miss something? I've been paying very close attention. And I,
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But when it was over, I was like, okay, all right, I get it.
Right. A good, a very good adults only.
Now it's bedtime.
Exactly. Yeah. Adults only for this one.
Or incredibly precocious kids
who you can't. Think?
Oh, yeah. Like, if I were.
This
like,
ain't no Encyclopedia
this
Brown.
This is the kind of movie, like, when I was 12 or 13, I'd have been like, I'm going to see this. And then I would have been, like, very sort of satisfied with myself after it was over because I'd have been like, I understood it, you know, like that.
Like those jerk high school students that have already read, like, Kierkegaard.
Right.
What a bunch of jerks.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. What's next?
What came out? I've had
no
memory.
We need to talk about Kevin.
Oh, I loved this movie.
Yeah, tell me why. Tell people what it's about.
Tilda Swinton.
And then tell them why.
John C. Reilly, an adaptation of a novel. And the film is a movie about Tilda Swinton's life after her son has...
Wow, you just gave away the ending.
But that's what the movie's about.
I know, but they don't tell you that until the ending.
They don't?
No.
We should redo that. Whoops.
Do you want to bleep that sentence when it comes up?
I'll redo it.
No. Let's just bleep out that sentence.
All right. So we bleeped it because I accidentally gave away. Well, but here's the thing. So during the movie, here's what makes it amazing.
Yeah.
It flashes back through the...
We can say that the kid does something very, very bad.
Right, he does something horrible that causes the entire town to hate her.
Right.
And
but you don't know what that is until the end.
Right. Whoops.
You don't know specifically what that thing is. You know it's something bad, you just don't know what.
Right, because you see...
It's kind of like a mystery up until the
You
very
see
end.
All of the after effects of it.
Right.
And then it goes through Kevin's life as he grows up, and it is an absolute unbelievable portrait of a child that may or may not be a sociopath. You really don't know.
Oh, he is.
But it's at the same time, it's like when the thing I found
she's
most...
a bad mom and he is also a sociopath.
See, but that's the thing is that you can't, it's not that absolute for me because I don't believe that she's a bad mother. I don't believe she's a great mother. But I also think, though, that it was sort of just like a perfect storm of the exactly the wrong things to put in the same house together.
Right.
And had that woman
resentful
had
mommy and dangerously unbalanced child.
And had that woman not had the sociopath as her first child, their lives would be completely different.
Yes.
And when a kid is a baby, you aren't sure what's wrong with it.
Right.
You don't know if it's a sociopath. You don't know if it's autistic.
I'm sorry, but your six-month-old is totally mental.
You don't know. And it's like, resentful mother is like watching this child just fearing that something's wrong. And you don't know if it's just because it's passing through her resentful filter.
Or Mommy wishes she was in France.
That's pretty
That was my favorite line in the movie. Mommy would rather be in France.
And then as a result of her saying that, she wallpapers her fancy schmancy office with all these rare maps.
Yes.
And something bad happens.
And something bad happens.
And I thought this movie was so much better than A Beautiful Boy, which came out earlier this year.
You can't even compare.
It's just like the same. It's sort of the
same ballpark. Beautiful Boy is just the worst.
It's like, because it's about messed up kids, and I did not like that movie. Yeah. This one, though, is chilling. It's like a horror movie to me.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Loved it.
I loved it less than you did. And I'm a big fan of Lynn Ramsey, the director. Mm-hmm. I loved Ratcatcher and Morvern Callier. I forget the name, how you pronounce it.
Which I have not seen her films, actually.
I'm a big fan of Lynn Ramsey. This is my least favorite of her films.
Why?
Just because... As the movie went on, I had too many questions.
Okay.
Many questions that I didn't think that I believed that these people would have also asked themselves these questions along the way. Like, mm-hmm. perhaps our child needs to see a psychiatrist.
Right. That's the key one.
These are sophisticated people.
Right.
These are sophisticated characters who are, you know, Tilda Swinton plays. A well-known travel writer.
Yes.
Like she's an adventuress, you know, and she writes books about it.
Right.
And John C. Reilly, I don't know what his character, the husband, I don't know what his character does for a living, but it's enough to buy them a little McMansion in the suburbs.
Exactly.
You know.
They're smart people.
That she hates and never puts any decorations or furniture in. It's this big empty cavern of a house.
Right. Amazing casting. She's so good.
Yeah. She's terrific. The whole movie is a showcase just for her.
It is. And
But I felt like the stuff that it propels toward, the bad stuff that it propels toward, I felt like that by using that as sort of a gotcha thing at the end, it turned it sort of into an exploitation film in a way.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I just wasn't I'm into Tilda Swinton no matter what. Even if I feel kind of ish about the movie, I'm in love with her.
Right. Here's where I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think that as soon as the kid can talk and is an adult, in air quotes.
And a spiteful pooper, by the way.
He is a spiteful pooper.
Poops for spite.
He wears diapers like until he's like seven
or eight. Yeah.
But when he is a high school student, then can articulate his thoughts properly.
And is pure D evil by that point.
Yeah, like, then it becomes like I'm mini Patrick Bateman in American Psycho.
Yes.
That's what I wrote on movies.com, so now I'm quoting myself as well.
Good.
But that's what it felt like to me.
Promoting the site.
And I liked it less at that point. Because, I mean, I don't, you know, because I didn't really like that kid. But when you're talking about the kid that plays in, what, 6 to 8? I think his name is Jasper something. I'm like, woo!
That kid is actually demonic in real life, probably.
Yeah. He would not act. Yeah, he could not be acting. He was so good. He was so good. But even the little tiny baby one that was like 2 years old.
And all just like, meh.
Yeah, and she's like rolling
angry,
him a ball.
Angry toddler,
and he's like, it's almost like the kid's parents, before they said action, were like,
we never loved you. Yeah.
Do what mommy does when she tries to play with you. Yeah. Action. Grr.
Yeah, this kid is like an angry dog on a too tight leash. And all three of the kids who play the kid through the course of his life. And you and that was my ongoing thing. I was like, how come no one ever brought this kid to a psychiatrist?
Right. That's you're
how come
absolutely
nobody
right.
did how come no one noticed? How did you not notice that, you know,
well,
bad things are little bad behaviors are happening all around you, and you're not going to take this clearly troubled child
right
to a psychiatrist.
Only caveat to that
yes.
I also found horrifying
was
that horrible things come from a parent that is absolutely 100% committed to their denial.
Yes.
Like John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
Bad things like happen in this movie.
Yeah.
And so although I don't really think that they deal with that, and I think that's giving the movie a lot of credit, it still made me think that, where I was like, oh my God, denial. Woof. Right, and, right. You know, scary thing. So anyway, but I think the movie is absolutely worth checking out because it was just, I was fascinated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say see it. Definitely see it for Tilda Swinton and just for the sake of argument.
Right.
Because, like, you'll argue with your... with whoever you go see it with when the movie's over.
Yeah, and it'll totally make you decide with your new, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever.
How they feel about having kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because this is real life, people.
ever told you the story about Alonzo and having kids?
No.
I don't know that I've ever discussed this with Alonzo on this show, but it's a great story.
Can you say it on the show?
Now I will tell it.
Linoleum Knife exclusive.
About 10 years ago, I had to go. I guess it was about 10 years ago. I was writing for iFilm back in the day. And I had to go see The Rugrats in Paris. And I had to review it.
Got you lucky.
And it was at this theater over in Westwood on a Saturday morning. Because you know how they put the kid, they do the family films. They screen them on the Saturday or Sunday morning. So you, all these people can bring their kids.
Right.
So all these people brought their kids. And there were a million little kids running around.
Yeah, Rugrats, very
just
popular.
Crazy wild. It was like the Chipmunks screening that I went to yesterday. Where were you, by the way, at that? Why didn't you go to
that yesterday? I had to do CNN.
Oh.
Because Matt Atchity is sick.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I have to pay for it now.
It's a million little kids.
I'm
going to
do what I did
Paris.
With New Year's Eve, and I'm going to put Jack Daniels in my Coke. Literally.
Million little kids running around. And the most adorable little, like, three-year-old girl runs up the aisle and does that thing that little kids do when they're so excited they don't even know what to do with themselves and they just spin around in a circle.
Yes.
You know? So she did that and I turned to Alonzo and I was like, oh, look at that little girl. And and he looks at me. Now, we had discussions over the years about the possibility, like, do we ever want to raise kids?
Mm-hmm.
And where would we buy one? You know, like that kind of stuff. Like, what would we do? And he looked at me with the coldest, deadest eyes. The tinkery, tailory, soldiery, spyest eyes of all time. And he looked right at me and he said, it would touch our stuff.
You guys have a lot of stuff.
We have really great stuff.
All really great.
Yeah. And he was right.
I could pick 5 books just by glancing casually at your shelf that I would steal if I had a big enough purse.
What book do you want to borrow? You can borrow any book
you
want.
No, borrowing is so...
from our lovely library.
Borrowing is so bourgeois.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It would touch... Not
it
he,
touch
not she.
It.
Would touch our stuff.
Jessica Simpson calls her baby it.
I knew that in the moment right then, that very moment. That we were never raising children.
That's probably smart to decide.
Never are we to raise children. We are not the people who will have children.
Well, you know how it works that, like, the people that really ponder, they think that they're not the ones to raise children are probably the ones best equipped. I mean, spiritually, mentally, etc. You guys would have an amazing job.
When I was a middle school teacher, I was a good middle school teacher.
You guys would have an amazing kid.
I was cool with those kids.
You would have the coolest kid.
They were kind of down for me, those kids.
He would have.
I think it'd be all right.
Yeah, vintage lunch boxes and a respect for not touching other people's stuff.
Yeah, don't touch that stuff, kid.
Don't touch anything in this apartment.
You can live here, just don't touch any of this stuff.
You can sit on the couch.
Yeah.
Once on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Fire. That's fair.
I'll take that TV remote and I'll put it on Yo Gabba Gabba for you.
And you will have a child like Kevin. Never mind. I'm sure that he had the same rules. Forget the whole thing. Shut it down.
Young adult.
Yes. Also, Limited, it's opening wider this coming week.
It's opening wider this coming week?
Yep.
I didn't know that. I thought it was opening wide this past weekend.
I don't think so.
Patton Oswalt saved this movie for me.
Tell people what it's about.
It's about Charlize Theron as a 37-year-old high school prom queen, essentially, who never grew out of it.
Oh, wait, I have a sound effect for her. Can I do it?
Yeah. What does that sound effect mean?
She's a wreck.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Correct.
Yeah, she's an alcoholic. She's delusional. She's about to lose her cool job as a writer,
right?
Of basically a Sweet Valley High.
Yeah, she's ghostwriting them.
Yeah. Now I didn't dislike this movie. I actually liked it quite a bit. Charlize Theron goes home to her small town in Minnesota, and with the intent to steal her ex-boyfriend back from his wife,
Buddy Slade.
Yeah, Patrick Wilson.
Yeah,
and he is having none of it. And meanwhile, Charlize Theron falls in to sort of a drinking buddy relationship with Patton Oswalt.
Right.
The guy who was the school nerd and also the victim of a gruesome hate crime.
Right. And now he's a cripple.
In his last year of school. So now he walks with like leg braces and his legs are completely mangled.
Right. And he has
And you see them. Sort of like CGI sort of they've done to his legs to make them look all.
I didn't notice.
You didn't notice that scene at the end where they show his legs and they're all like distorted and.
I think maybe I was blocking it out. That's what I generally tend to do.
Okay.
I try to see crippled people like normal people. I can't say. First step, not saying crippled.
Exactly. Exactly. Whoops. Perhaps you could begin by taking the one step of not calling them crippled.
Handicapable.
But the... but it's... It's... It is a good movie with a central character that didn't quite buy.
Didn't quite buy, or why is that?
Because, again, much like we need to talk about Kevin, I had questions about how this person could exist.
Okay.
Like, even the prom queen, life kicks you enough after high school to kick a little bit of sense into your head.
Right, that's true.
Right? And
hopefully.
Her job is one, as you know, as a writer, if you're a writer, you have to be very observant of details. And if you're a writer of fiction, you have to be very observant of, like, the human condition. And I question how her character could be that kind of writer, even one for, like, a Sweet Valley High kind of series that has a character Bible that you have to follow and all that stuff. How she could be as delusional and thoughtless and self-centered and narcissistic as she was and be a writer, you know? Like, how you could get the information about people that you need and not have any of it penetrate your own life.
That's a good point.
So I thought she was a little cartoony as that person.
I agree with that.
But here's what I loved about it, that everyone did not talk like they do in Juno.
Right, and it's Diablo
Cody wrote this,
right,
yeah.
Her script.
And I was expecting when I went in that everyone was going to be tossing Diablo Cody zingers at each other for 100 minutes.
Exactly.
And then it would tie itself up nice and neatly like Juno.
Right,
a movie I really loved, by the way.
Oh, of course.
But it ends in a very sweet sort of pat kind of way. And
There were no novelty phones in this movie.
Right, thank God. This is definitely a progression for her.
Well, what's interesting
is
I heard that this is her first script, and then now it's being made now.
Interesting.
And I'm not sure if that's true, but I think the thing that I liked about it, the thing I liked about it the most was that there was no huge arc in it. So sort of what you're saying, that there's no pat ending like Juno.
Because toward the end, they leave you hanging.
Totally.
I'm not going to go into detail, but they leave you hanging.
Right. And I think that I loved Charlize's character in this. I loved how horrible she looked the entire movie.
Yeah, until she dressed up to look good for him.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing that I kept
and
thinking.
And then she looks like that Christian Dior commercial that she's in.
Right.
You seen that thing?
Yes.
It's
where
like,
she's literally
she's glowing
like
she's made
gold.
Of butter. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, yeah.
It's like they actually didn't use any After Effects
No, she glows in real life.
Right.
I bumped into her, actually literally sort of brushed shoulders with her one night.
Did it make like
you're
going to
crack up when I tell you where.
Did it make a sparkly noise?
No. Ring-a-ding. It was at the Los Angeles Opera.
Of course it was.
And I'm in the beer can seats at the very, very top. And she's down with Stuart.
Stuart, what's his
blah,
name?
Blah,
from
Townsend. Yeah.
Leagues of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Dorian
Gray.
But she was super dressed up. She looked like a movie star, because she is. Because
she is, 100%.
And she's like, va, va, voom. You know, like, I'm I actually sort of like brushed against her, and I looked and I turned and it was her.
Right.
And then I was like, oh my God, that's Charlize Theron, get away. You know, like.
You're like, way to go, Zelda Avergon.
But she's real tall and gorgeous and just like, there's nothing wrong with that woman.
I love how horrible she looked the whole movie. Yeah. And I love how, even though when she got dressed up, she was still really sad.
Right.
And that was good. She gave a really good performance. Yes. And I love the reason that the movie worked for me and I liked it so much was because if everyone had sort of let this woman exist as her horrible self and then been really polite in Midwest about not confronting her, it would have been terrible. However, we had Patton.
Right.
And Patton Oswalt saved the whole thing because the entire time he was like, what?
Every scene he's in, he drags the movie back into reality.
Right.
And
I liked it.
He's terrific. Like,
it's just
the Academy Awards were of a mind to give an Academy Award nomination to somebody like Patton Oswalt, and I don't think they are.
No.
That he would get one.
Because he's that funny
and he's that good.
It's just him. And it's like, this is the perfect culmination of like everything he's done to this point and putting it into a movie. It's exactly what they can't figure out how to do for Ricky Gervais.
Right. Well, Ricky Gervais has a lot invested in being mean to everybody.
Can you believe they asked him?
Thank God.
Back?
I can, and I'm very happy about it.
Golden Globes?
I can't believe that they wouldn't have immediately offered it back to him after the first time.
That makes me like the Hollywood Foreign Press so much more.
Whoa, the phone is ringing.
I love it when the phone rings.
This is the way we go here in Linoleum Knife Land.
It won't be, but...
It's my friend Sean Abley.
Sean!
Yeah. Hey, what's up? You're on the air, Sean Abley. We're talking on Linoleum Knife right now.
Hey, Sean!
What did you want to talk about? Oh, we're talking about Young Adult. Have you seen it yet? Well, you need to go see it, and then you can talk about it with us. It's not, Alonzo's not here. It's me and Gray. You're actually not on the air. I'm just talking into the mic while I talk to you on the phone.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's totally fascinating. What do you need to ask me?
Hopefully nothing private.
Oh, I'm making dinner here and stuff, so.
I'm gonna eat a chocolate truffle.
Hang on. Call me back in like 20 minutes, and we'll discuss this. All right, bye.
We're at 57 minutes.
All right, we only have like two more movies to talk about, and they're both crappy, so
it shouldn't take long.
We can knock this out real fast.
Boom.
So I liked Young Adult a lot.
I really liked it. I
have problems with the character of Charlize Theron. I don't have problems with Charlize Theron.
That's the sound she
makes. She makes glittering, glowy sounds when she walks.
And
past.
I have heard also that she smells like a dove.
I bet she does.
Yeah.
I was very close to her, but did not smell her. Because
you were too busy taking in a sharp breath of surprise.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I get it.
I was. That's happened to me. That's happened to me three times. The actual bumping into of a celebrity, like actual physically
bumping
into somebody. Because, you know, everything in Los Angeles is too close together.
Right.
And
ironically, since even though it's a huge grid.
Even though it's a huge grid, yeah. But every store or shop you're in, there's not enough room for two people to walk through a thing.
just like a road on the Hollywood Hills.
So I bumped into Britney Spears one day.
That's right, and Fred Siegel, right?
And that was a disaster in the making because when I bumped into her, I was like, actually, I didn't bump into her. I looked up and she was standing 3 inches away from me.
That's enough to scare anybody.
And I looked up and it was her and I was like, nah! And then I saw her bodyguard from across the room and I was like, I don't want any trouble. Well, I just moved away. So I didn't bump into her, but it was extremely close. We were, if she had breathed on me, I could have smelled the Cheetos.
I imagine that if you had made contact with her, it would have been much more of a like chunka chunka noise.
I actually bumped into Johnny Depp at Book Soup one time.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And he looked homeless. But it was him. And then I brushed against Charlize Theron.
Rich
at the opera
look...
where I was.
Because
I go to the opera.
You are cultured like that.
I do. You know, have you ever been to the opera?
I have.
It's fantastic.
I love the opera.
It's great. The opera is rad.
I was busy discussing how I wish that the opera was still sacred ground for people to dress up at.
I don't dress up when I go.
No, it's fine. And you know, actually,
I wear what I always wear: t-shirt, boots, and jeans. Listen. And I sit up in the top, and it's a jamboree up top. By the way, they're rolling beer bottles around up there. They're talking, they're texting.
It should be. Well, that's exactly how it is at Dodger games too. You can pull that a little.
It's like a Dodger game. Up top at the opera is like a Dodger game.
I was rebuffed gently by a British man who told me very generously that the opera used to be, much like Shakespeare plays, were for the people, and everyone could afford it, and everyone could go, and that's what they did.
Right.
But then all of a sudden it got co-opted, and it became something for the rich.
For the fancy people.
Right, and so really the people up there rolling around beer bottles and, you know, wearing their jeans are people taking it back.
I'm taking it back.
Yeah, good for you.
I'm taking it
You're
that
a
opera.
Revolutionary. Taking you're like, that opera you're back. Like El Che Guevara of
That's
La
right.
Opera.
That's right.
That was not any language. I don't know what.
That was not. It wasn't English. It wasn't Spanish. It was nothing.
Put on a beret.
Right.
Bring your bottle opener.
Now, I haven't been
and hopefully
in
some
a long
livestock.
Time. I haven't actually been to the opera in a very long time because the tickets are so dang expensive.
I know, me either.
But even the cheap seats are
it's
expensive.
It's adorable how they keep calling me, asking to buy a season pass, and I'm like...
I used to have season tickets back when I made more money.
Right.
But God, journalists don't make money anymore.
Unbelievable.
And so I haven't been in a while. But anybody wants to buy me a season pass to the Los Angeles Opera, you know, you're welcome to...
A really good Christmas
to do,
gift.
Yeah, you're welcome to do that.
Your benefactor is listening.
That's right. That's right. All right. The sitter. Here's what I love about you. You know, anybody who goes to movies.com, you go to the front page, the website of the front page, and you will. Now my cell phone's buzzing, but I'm not going to pick it up this time. I'm not picking it up.
Okay. Are you sure? It might be really interesting.
Now this one person will leave a voicemail.
Okay.
Yeah. On the front page, you know, we have the little taglines that we give that I've actually had people think that that was the whole review. Like this 3-word, 5-word, 6-word tagline of, you know, sort of a tease of what you're going to see if you click on the thing that says click for full review. My God.
I love the internet.
I'd be like, what a great review, 3 words. No, that's not the review.
Dave, you really got so deep into that one in those 3 words.
But anyway, yours for the sitter is a piece of sit.
Which I can't help but laugh.
That's so good. I laughed out loud when I saw that.
Every time.
Piece of sit.
Well, because I struggle with those so bad because I'm too wordy for them.
Right.
And I struggle, and occasionally I will do one that just makes me chuckle. And usually those are also the ones where I'm like, they're never going to let me put those up there.
Right.
That was one of them, but nobody said anything. I was like, okay. Because I want to tell everybody the one for Weekend because I didn't get to put it up there.
I want it to be known that I approved of this one.
He did.
Alonzo said no.
It's true. Because I called them to ask their opinion because it made me laugh so friggin' hard that I was immediately wanted to put it in. Now, Weekend, as listeners all know, is that amazing movie.
It's a great movie, yeah.
We all loved it. I thought it was fantastic. He was on the Popcorn Mafia with me and Alonzo. It's just been, he's great.
Yeah.
Andrew, what's his name? And
Haig?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so my tagline was for Weekend, hits a homo run.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Funny.
And it was really good.
Because the movie's about homos.
And Alonzo said no. He also told me that I should never listen to Dave White when Dave White gives me the green light because Dave White is mean.
Alonzo doesn't like fun. Alonzo hates fun.
I don't know. See, I've danced while waiting for elevators with Alonzo. He's pretty fun.
Did he dance with you while waiting for... Did
he
really?
Yeah, it was like a hot disco tune. We also do, by the way, a really smashing
rendition. Alonzo gets really touchy about gay fun.
Yes.
If you're making fun of gay people, he's always like, I don't know if that's allowed or not.
We also do
like,
a really
it's
great
totally allowed.
Duet of Baby It's Cold Outside, we learned.
Of course.
He is a delight.
He is a delight.
You're
I will
right.
say that he is a delight.
But you're right
That's
about
true.
I but okay, he was he, but in the end he was right about Homo Run, but I hope that everybody listening
He was not right about that. He was wrong about that. It should have been
I should have put it.
It should have gone and they would have let you have it.
But That's what I thought about The Sitter, though, truly, is that it was, that's what it was. I didn't like it.
It's terrible.
Who is going to see that movie? Because it's about little kids and their misadventures.
Right.
And it's R-rated.
An R-rated movie.
Super R.
It's super R-rated.
Drugs, yeah. Sex. The movie opens with him going down on a girl.
Yeah. It's a remake of Adventures in Babysitting.
It is.
And there's just nothing going on. It doesn't know what it wants to be. It's like this raunchy comedy, but then it's like each kid in the movie gets a learning moment, and Jonah Hill gets a learning moment, and it all just grinds to a halt every time. And there's like the kid from Where the Wild Things Are gets this like
Max
really Ryan. Earnest learning moment, and you're sitting there going, oh, please.
It's painful.
Shoot me. You know, like there's I will say that I would watch it on cable just for Sam Rockwell.
That was funny. I mean, there
and his insane drug den. That's filled. Bizarre.
It was bizarre. That was that's the thing about the movie. There are funny parts of it.
So many weird little details just floating around in the movie.
Jonah Hill's a funny dude, and
yes.
I laughed. It opens using the "Color Me Bad, I Want to Sex You Up" song.
This is a fantastic song.
Makes me laugh, yeah. And so but
it's
but,
not as good as "All for Love." That's the best "Color Me Bad" song.
Oh, girl, I think I love
you. Yeah. Yeah. I know. That's my line
that's
in
Dave's
that movie.
Part.
In that song.
But I mean overall though, it's I don't know who's gonna watch it. It's definitely
not
a
me
good,
ever
good,
again.
I know. Good no. cable movie. I'm over it though.
Not even a good cable movie. Just a movie to watch on cable if you can fast forward to the Sam Rockwell parts.
It's like, you know, sometimes some of those movies I realized this when I was reviewing New Year's Eve, that when you will allow a movie to play on cable when you are cooking and using the blender.
Yes.
That's a certain kind of movie.
Yes.
And I would let The Sitter run while I was using household appliances.
I understand that. Yeah. That's, you know what we don't have to do any more of?
What?
Talk about it.
Great.
We never have to talk about it again.
Thank God.
Let's talk about New Year's Eve.
Oh. We shouldn't have saved this to last.
We shouldn't have.
No, you. Why? Because it's so bonkers that
it's terrifically awful.
I wanted it to be like I wanted it to be worse than it was, so it was more fun.
Yeah, it's not fun at all.
No,
it's not The Roommate by any stretch.
No, it was like I think Gary Marshall has surrounded himself with so many yes men that he's not making good movies anymore because they've gone consistently downhill, and it's like, hey, Gary, I know that you're like 843.
He is.
But just because you put more than a couple famous people in your movie doesn't automatically make it awesome.
No.
And you've got like really, really fun to watch actors like Michelle Pfeiffer pairing up with Zac Efron. It's like, that's a recipe for success because they're both fun to watch on some level.
Yeah.
But then when you make Michelle Pfeiffer act like a buffoon that like all of us, like she's never acted in a thing in her life. That's what this whole movie was like.
Yeah. It's, oh man.
It's just so bad.
I'm looking at his IMDb page right now. And you have to go all the way back to, hang on.
The 80s, like Pretty Woman was in the 90s.
You have to go all the way back to,
it's like Beaches and Pretty Woman.
Actually, you know what I'm going to say? He's never made a movie that I've liked.
That's fair.
Here they are, New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, in backwards order. New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, Georgia Rule, that Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, I know which
disaster. One. The Princess Diaries 2.
Blah.
Raising Helen.
Horrible.
The Princess Diaries, which is a toxic mess.
I thought it was fine, but not great.
Runaway Bride.
No, good.
The Other Sister, which is amazing.
Which is amazing in just an unbelievable level. And everyone should watch his DVD commentary for
Dear
that.
God.
I am the only person, I think, in America that saw that.
Exit to Eden.
Oh, God.
Frankie and Johnny. Pretty Woman, which is terrible, by the way. I don't know if anyone's watched Pretty Woman lately. Go back and watch Pretty Woman and marvel at the disaster of Pretty Woman.
It's an emotional win for me.
It's cuckoo bananas.
I have ovaries.
Beaches, which apparently people think is wonderful.
I haven't seen Beaches as an adult, but it just, even thinking about it, makes my estrogen like bubble up like Pop Rocks.
I feel when I watched, when I, the one time I watched Beaches, I felt like I wanted to, like, I'd never seen, I guess up until the point of seeing Beaches, I'd never seen a movie that made me want to kill people. So for the first time in my life, I felt like by the end of the movie that I actually wanted to kill people. Like, and when whoever it was it Barbara Hershey who dies of cancer at the end of that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Bette Midler sings Wind Beneath My Wings?
Yes.
I was like, could everyone just please die of cancer at the end of this movie?
You know that it's bad when you wish that everyone will die of the disease that one person has
everyone,
died of.
I want everyone to die of cancer. Right. Same with Steel Magnolias. I wanted everyone dying of cancer by the end of that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All those weepy movies about people dying of cancer.
Right.
By the end of them, I want everyone dying of cancer.
It's your stepmom theorem.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I get it.
Overboard, Nothing in Common, The Flamingo Kid, Young Doctors in Love. Okay, Young Doctors in Love, 1982. Never seen that. I seem to remember laughing sometimes at that.
Overboard is funny.
But everything else before then was TV, and he directed The Odd Couple. He was the Odd Couple guy on TV in the 70s. Odd Couple's a funny show.
Right. It's not, see, but I mean, I think that his movies have just gotten consistently worse as he's aged, which is what happens.
Right.
To most directors.
Not if you're Jean-Luc Godard.
Oh, God, why did I know you were going to bring
make
him up?
Film socialism.
Oh, I hated that movie. It just turned me into Jerry Lewis. I hated that movie so much. God, that movie. I actually thought something was wrong with my DVD player. I was going to call you.
So funny.
Because we watched a screener of that.
Right.
And I thought I was going to call you and ask you if
maybe... Is there
maybe
something wrong with the DVD?
I had, like, my subtitles turned off. I thought that maybe it was in another language. Like, I was just a mess with that movie.
So funny.
And then I realized, like, 60 minutes into it, that this was the movie.
This, by the way, is the movie.
God, yeah. I hated it.
So, yeah. So we're done. That's it. That's all
so
the movies.
So that's the week.
And we can just ditch the DVD recommendations because we've gone way over
it
our normal
a
time.
Long,
we've gone
yes.
like well over an hour. This
happens to me sometimes.
Alonzo's going to be mad. He's going to be like, oh, we have a wonderful time talking to Gray for over an hour.
No, it's really just because I talk a lot.
You've,
so it's...
You've infused us with new energy today.
I'm so happy to help. Anything for you guys. I love you both to pieces. And it's really been so lovely, like, having you guys both home for, like, the holiday season. Because last year, Alonzo was so busy.
He was so busy promoting his book, Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas.
Which, on Amazon.com. And his website.
You go buy that thing right now.
AlonzoDuraldi.com.
I think we're Linoleum Cast at something something.
It's Libsyn. Uh-huh.
At
yes.
Gmail.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I don't know.
You are.
Sorry. if you...
It's linoleumcast@gmail.com, as I recall.
Is it? Okay.
As
or
I recall.
You could, you know, you could email, you could message us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Alonzo
Duralde
or mm-hmm. me on Facebook and say, hey, I want to buy a copy of Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas, and I want Alonzo to sign it for
it's
me.
It's such a good Christmas present for anyone
yeah.
that
or
likes.
Or just go to Amazon, buy it, you know.
Yeah. But buy it for sure.
Buy it. Because, man, do we need money.
And that is.
Lots and lots of money.
That is the only thing that makes you not a stalker.
Right.
Dave and Alonzo have taught me.
Yeah.
You don't have a stalker as long as they buy your stuff.
That's right.
So
then you're an actual friend.
Right. So
if
there you,
you
go.
Pay money, you're an actual friend.
It's been so lovely.
If you're just enjoying
here.
Us and thinking thoughts about us, then you're a stalker.
Right. Then yeah. you're a stalker. So don't
That's
be
right.
a stalker. Get put out,
don't
take
be a stalker,
out your wallet.
Be a customer and a friend.
Right. And just don't buy coffee for 2 days and you could have that wonderful book in your hands.
More like 3 or 4 days.
Whatever.
Because it costs like...
I don't know, coffee's pretty expensive, dude.
That book is like $17.
Is it?
Yeah, if you buy it on Amazon, it's like $12 or $13. But okay. if you buy it for real from Alonzo, it's $17. But
coffee
plus,
for 4 days.
Plus postage, but you get that autograph.
Exactly, so yeah. do it.
Also a special Christmas surprise if you buy it directly.
How fun.
Yeah.
You guys are the king of the holidays.
Yeah.
Kings.
I'm fixing
to
put the lights on this tree now.
I'm so excited. It's wonderful spending any time with you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here and navigating all the cords and plugs and wires
Yay.
And zippers and buttons.
I can't wait for Alonzo to get back and tell us about his cruise and his TCB.
I gotta hear every minute of
B-47, and
yeah.
then it's just a lot of people going, what? What? I didn't hear what he said. Isn't it that man's grandson? Tell him to speak up. Now let's go watch something with Julie Christie.
Okay, we're done.
Bye.
Bye.